I'm here with director Adam York. Am I correct? That's how you say your name?
Yes, sir.
All right. You directed the film for Tribeca, Bunker Burger. So how did you come up with the idea and the concept for the film?
I'm kind of really big into the whole prepper movement and, you know, post-apocalyptic thinking. I read this article in the New Yorker about a year or two ago talking about how all these billionaires were just thinking about the minutia of, you know, what am I going to bring down to my bunker? What kind of protocols am I going to have involved? What specialties, expertises, and thinking of that sort of cast of characters in a contained space like that automatically brought to mind, like, you know, Big Brother, Survivor type reality shows I used to watch a lot as a kid. So I figured, you know, give that treatment to the post-apocalyptic film, with a hint of absurd dark comedy in there. And that's how it came about.
I gotcha. And since you touched on Survivor, so I was actually going to ask to follow that up. I wanted to say, was there anything that inspired the ideas and the concept behind it? Because, you know, in the film you mentioned The Walking Dead and Mad Max, which is great references. So, like, were there any other movies or any other shows, any other, like, even reality TV shows, since you mentioned Survivor, that actually caused you to really dive deeper into that concept?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you've got, like, that, you know, straight, serious stuff, like Mad Max, Walking Dead, The Mist was another one. You know, they're all contained in there when this thing's going on outside. And then on the other end, you've got, like, you know, whether it's mostly reality TV, but it's, like, super, you wouldn't call it real. I mean, it's just real because it's us people, but, you know, it's scripted, but it's got this comedic, you know, more playful edge to it. Survivor, Big Brother, even American Idol, like an audition, like judging thing, like a panel of people just judging someone for entry or not, you know, like the tribal council and Survivor, just everything. So combining, and, you know, all these straight up ones like Walking Dead and 10 Cloverfield Lane was another big, taking place in a bunker was another big one, but they're all so straight and serious and dark. Yeah. And I knew I didn't want to take that tone. I wanted to sort of bring it, I mean, because it is kind of absurd, like the people are literally preparing for it. So instead of putting aliens or zombies or anything like that to sort of make it dark and fantasy, just keep it real, but also give it that absurdist tone that the reality TV plus the, you know, the serious post-apocalyptic genre, and you put them together, and hopefully the child is what I made.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, and it's funny because it really, you can feel that. Like, you can watch it and you're like, and since you're mentioning all these other shows and all these, like, you know, reality television, like judging, when you watch the film, you're like, man, they're really trying to judge this girl, let her in here, type of thing. So it's pretty awesome. And, you know, I can see where that came from. Since there's a lot of storytelling and a lot of development within the film itself, there's enough of a foundation where it could be more than a short film. Was that the intent, or you just decided, like, okay, I'm just
going to... Oh, yeah, definitely.
I got you.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I'm writing a feature. I mean, I wanted it to be a TV series, but I was kind of thinking, I don't know if you saw, you know, Short Term 12 or a bunch of these other things. They made a short, then they did the feature, Dear White People is another one. They do short, then a feature, and then off the strength of the feature, and Netflix or something else gives them a series order. So that's the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much material in the concept that I think a series is the end goal with it, but the short is step one. We're working on the feature right now. We're just waiting for some funding, just finishing up the script, get the feature done, and then ideally down the line turn it into a series.
Mm. Because it seems like it would be a great mini-series. Even if it was like a long-term series, it'd still be... Even if it was just a mini-series, it would still be pretty solid. Because there was a lot of foundation and a lot of, like, development within the short amount of time. And we're only talking, like, what, 10, 13 minutes? So there was a lot going on.
11:30.
Yeah, so it says 11 minutes, and you get a lot of information in there. And you grow invested to these characters. And it's crazy in such a short amount of time.
Everyone called me crazy, you know, even my producer, like, do you really need 12 actors, 13 actors? Yeah, it's like, even just them sitting there, and, like, a small reference to each,
mm-hmm.
you get a kind of idea of, like, a world that existed before you got down here type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, plus they were just sitting on the couch mostly for the whole time. We really just did one day with all those actors, but just having them there and seeing the scope of the world is such a, like you say, it's just, you know, trying to get as much information as possible in a short period of time.
Yeah. And it was so subtle, too. Like, when you're sitting there watching, when you're like, everyone just seems so cool, so nonchalant. They're like, yeah, all right, you know, we're down here, we're cool. And but there's like a whole nother world outside. Like, outside of the room, there's like a whole nother thing going on out there. And but everyone down there is just like, yeah, you know, this is routine, this is regular. You know, we're good. We have no problems. We have no issues. We have no worries.
Yeah, that type of segregation, I think, will be more and more common, especially like in our world today. You know, talking about, you know, we already have gated communities, but that type of, I mean, it's the ultimate gated community. It's literally just locked away. The recent film, it was like a few years ago, Elysium, had that type of thing too, that Matt Damon mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
You know, the rich are all in space and the bottom are, so like, just like a divide of people. And their common coolness contrasted with Eve, played by Sarah. Sarah's, you know, rabid, primal nature. It's been, you know, that's what happens to you when you're living out there. But keeping that a secret, really, you know.
Yeah.
We're only out there for like one shot with the kid bringing her in.
Yeah.
You know, plus we didn't have the budget for too much else out there, you know.
I got you. The way it plays out, it makes sense for them to look for someone in her career field, you know. So can you explain in your words, like, what made you decide that would be the perfect type of person for that type of scenario, just for the, you know, for the short? Because I'm pretty sure you can build off other characters they bring in, but like, for that type of scenario to make that much of an impact for that short, like, what was your thought process in coming up with that character?
Well, for them to be the person that's like last thought of, I mean, it's like, how, I mean, you know, like, nobody really gives men, we're starting to now, but you know, like, we have Bell Let's Talk in Canada. Mental health is becoming a bigger issue in your country, in America as well. It's, you know, if you were one of these people thinking about who you absolutely need down there, you'd think of like heart doctors first, dentists, and that actually came up in the article. You know, they were talking about all these, you know, of course you need a dentist, you need somebody who can do surgery, you know, X person. Mental health is, sure, it would be helpful, but it's a bit of a luxury. But then you get down there and you don't have it, and all these people packed into a room living in a way that they've been not accustomed to, and people start to lose it and go nuts. And you know, my mom's the therapist and she works in that field, and I can see, you know, just how necessary it is even for our lives today, let alone when it would come to that circumstance. And then on top of that, like you say, like, why they're perfectly suited to be in the hot seat. I mean, it would be less interesting if like a dentist was being questioned, right? I mean, as somebody in mental health or a psychiatrist can disproportionately manipulate and gain insight into these people just by little things that she's picking up, whereas, you know, what's a dentist going to talk about how nice their smiles are? And, you know, they can't really get the same type of dynamic going in the room, so to speak, you know, to earn their, to pierce these people immediately.
I got you. To follow up on that, did the characters translate exactly how you wanted to from script to film, or did they actually translate better than you actually wanted them to?
That's a good question. I kind of, my few main actors, Sarah, who plays Eve, psychiatrist, Rico, who plays Rico, the bunker owner, and Tony, who plays Ryan, the guy who gets killed, the three of them, I was getting notes from them as I was writing it, and so, which I found really helpful, like, just, you know, is this natural or not, would I do this or not, type thing. So it was almost like rehearsing it as we were writing it, and then just come close to them. We did like a table read prior, we changed some things, so like on the day it was all pretty worked through already, and everybody kind of just executed. But it's a great type of scene where, you know, there's no blocking really, so you can just sit everybody down and rehearse it and try it a bunch of different ways and see what people bring to the table.
So explain the balance, because you did a solid job in balancing the suspense, the survival horror, the comedy, and just blending it well enough, which, like, there's points where you forget that it's like, okay, this is a dark comedy because of the certain things that they say, but then at the same time, your mind jumps back to being intense because they're like, well, somebody has to go. And they're like, wait a minute. So how did you do, like, explain, how did you manage to keep that balance when writing and directing? Like,
you know, it's funny, they, like, you know, keeping the goal off the top, I mean, the absurdity of it is, you know, it's hard because this type of situation doesn't, I mean, it either happens straight up, like in those other examples we were talking about, or it's like kind of taken more serious than it even is, like on, you know, the Bachelor, like who's getting the rose, and they're all like stone faced, like it just doesn't matter. But like you take life or death stakes and consequences, then you take the dressing around it and make that something that you wouldn't expect, you know, talking about sexuality or like who can co-create or this or that, some things that we've never considered, but they're all, so they're almost comedic to us in their absurdity. I forget who said it, some might have been an actor or a comedy writer, like play it straight, and the comedy will either be unearthed or not. So just play it the way, you know, what they're actually talking about and they're considering, and the absurdity and the comedy will kind of come through if it is absurd and funny anyway, which hopefully it does.
Oh yeah, it did. It most definitely did.
I appreciate that.
So what's next on your storytelling? What do you have on your plate next? What
are you working on? So I'm currently, we're waiting on to, basically it's called Telefilm. It's like a funding agency for film here in Canada. Okay. Where they do this first features fund, you know, for, you know, if you've never made a feature before, you make this application and everything. So with the same team, producers, actors, everybody, we have already applied to that for financing for the feature version, which is about 3/4 written, and we hear about that soon. So hopefully we're going to get that and then do the feature version. I'm also, I have a feature script that's about to be produced later this year with my production company, Wildling Pictures, here in Toronto. We're just casting and financing that right now. And those are the two things on the table right now. I'm thinking it's probably the last short that I do. The short was really just a vehicle to get the feature made. So that's what I'm leading into basically for most of this year, to kind of get that feature made, pretty low budget, especially by American standards in Canada. This fund is really, you know, really low budget, but we've got a way to do it.
Awesome. Would you like to touch on that other feature that you were talking about you were working on?
Oh, the other feature, yeah, that's it's a horror feature in the vein of Don't Breathe. And the classic, well, almost classic, it's a movie called Wait Till Dark from 1967, starring Audrey Hepburn and Alan Arkin. It's kind of like a play with a home invasion thriller about this woman a new app to get help from outside the house in order to survive a home invasion. And that's being directed by Molly McGlynn, a director from Toronto here. She's actually down in LA now, directing TV. She did her first feature a couple years ago that premiered at TIFF. The producers are my same producers of my short, like I said, Wildling Pictures. And I wrote the script with my writing partner on that, Tommy Gushue. It's, you know, small indie Bloomhouse type of thing. We don't actually have them attached, but it's about a few $1 million budget. We're hoping to shoot late this fall and winter. Okay.
Gotcha. That sounds pretty cool. So I have a fun question, right? Is there any book or any graphic novel, any movie from the past, any movie from like the past 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, is there anything that you would like to film yourself personally? Like, there's like a goal of like to do like, say, the Green Lantern film, or to do like the next Batman series or something. Like, is there any graphic novel, any movie, any book, or like Gatsby or something that you would like to personally film?
There hasn't been made yet, you mean? Like not the film?
Yeah, it could be not have made or something that you might be able to modernize. Like, say, Othello, which has been done a few times. Or, like, Romeo and Juliet, or your version of Romeo and Juliet. Like, how they had the zombie one not too long ago. Like, is there anything that you personally feel like that you would want to take on and do yourself?
I mean, it's pretty... It's almost too arrogant to say, but I know I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it, but I just actually finished reading this book about Stanley Kubrick's Napoleon that never got made. They call it the greatest movie that was never made. Basically, it's like, you know, he compiled more research and archival evidence, you know, for costume, just everything about Napoleon in that era. He eventually couldn't get it made. The budget ballooned. There were a bunch of other reasons. There's a whole book on it, but and then Spielberg picked it up for a time. He dropped it. So, like, I've already dropped Kubrick and Spielberg, and it's like, here I am thinking that it's like a far-flung dream, but I'm just a really big Napoleon buff, and that movie is kind of just, there's like this vault of material. There's even like several scripts written about already there that Kubrick had done. And yeah, I would kill to make that movie. If you remember, it was early 70s. Oh yeah, it's called Waterloo with Rod Steiger playing Napoleon, and it bombed. It was like this Italian co-production in the early 70s. Laurence Olivier, Rod Steiger. It was made mostly just about Waterloo as opposed to Napoleon's whole life, but it just bombed in the early 70s, and then the studio pulled out of Kubrick's Napoleon movie, and then it's just been kind of sitting there dormant. Like I said, Spielberg tried to revive it at one point, and it went nowhere, but that's like, that would be like a dream to make that movie.
Hey, if you can dream it, you can do it, man. It's only impossible until you get it done. It's only impossible until you get it done.
I mean, you know, if you think Kubrick and Spielberg can't get something done, you know, it's kind of maybe one day, especially with where effects are heading, maybe you don't actually need to get all the guys and the horses like they had to, but yeah, somebody will probably make it at some point.
Hey, it could be you, yeah. just keep pushing for
from
it.
From your mouth to God's ears.
So is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't touched on, or anything that you have in your head that you want to get out there?
Just that this is a world that I want to explore more, and you know, I super appreciate you for taking the time to talk about it, and for your review, man. I really appreciate it.